Welcome to the Title League Podcast. I'm your host, Kurt.
And I'm Trish.
And today we're joined by New Orleans Pelicans rookie, Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
You know, there's been a lot of stuff that's been happening in the bubble since the last time we came together. We've seen some teams fall. We've seen some teams rise up. And it'll be really interesting to get Nikhil's perspective on what it was like in there and now what life after the bubble looks like. And you know, honestly, like if anybody's really talking about what happens after this is done, and what's the NBA going to look like? And we've spent so much time wondering, you know, was the season going to restart? And between COVID and the social injustices and, you know, it was hit or miss. And then we almost paused again halfway through being inside of the bubble because of social justice issues. And, you know, okay, so we have an end date. But then when the finals are done, what's the NBA going to look like coming out of this?
Yeah, free agency is going to be unique. It's just really strange because when we're talking about a player who's in their first year, he's on contract, but his offseason's not a traditional offseason. Typically, you know, offseason is working out, getting ready for the next year, heading to Vegas for summer league. As a young guy, he would have been playing at summer league. So all of those things are going to look different. Free agency starts in October. What does the New Orleans Pelicans team look like next year?
But honestly, like what you've laid out between what the Pelicans look like as a team and what year two looks like for Nikhil and what free agency looks like, I'm curious, what does the NBA look like, period, because of these social injustice issues? I feel like we've come to ahead with the players, and the players are going to continue and they're going to finish off this season. But if things don't look different coming out of this bubble from a social perspective, I'm not sure what position some of these players are going to take in what would be considered their off season. And it will be really fascinating to see how that plays out.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that I want to talk to him about. Also, just when you go into the league, you've grown up watching this league. So I want to get his take on what teams he's supporting. Is he a Raptors fan at heart?
That's a good question.
You know, you grow up in the six, and you know, you're watching Vince Carter as a kid. He's obviously seen all the seasons of struggle with the rosters that were just, you know, rosters that we don't want to talk about on this show. And now the team that has a championship but is on the verge of elimination. So it will be very, very interesting to get his take, talk about what his first year was like in the NBA. And, of course, I know you want to cover some of the fun stuff like league fits and his drip.
Well, I am going to ask him. I want to know why league fits loves him as much as they do. I mean, don't get me wrong. The boy's swaggy. But, like, we have had this conversation before. There are guys out there in the league who look fantastic, who are put together very nicely, and league fits does not show them the love. So I am curious to see if he knows what the secret to that success is. But honestly, I actually, as the younger cousin of a very overachieving female, I spent most of my childhood and youth being compared to my older cousin and in a battle of competition. So obviously there's a personal part of me that wants to touch on his relationship with Shea. Clearly they're super close, but I'm very interested in hearing what that dynamic was like growing up and if it was always as much of a brotherhood as they currently present.
Most definitely. Yeah. Only a year apart in the draft. We're talking about 2018 11th pick for Shea, and then the 17th pick in 2019. So talk about accomplishments and to see how well Shea has played. Shout out to OKC. I'd love to get Nikhil's take on what he thinks of Shea signing with Converse is like, since, you know, Nikhil's a Nike Jordan type of guy, but we'll see if he's going to be rocking any of that Converse swag.
That's awesome. Bring out the Chucks, man. And let's bring out Nikhil.
Trish, I got to ask you straight up. And, you know, I want to know, have you ever been with someone, or maybe it's happened multiple times?
I'm going to stop you right there. Men's grooming is extremely important to most women. In fact, 85% of women care about how a man is groomed down there.
And, like, how important? Are we talking, you know, is it once a week, once a month? How often should us guys be taking care of our goods down there.
Well, I don't know, Kurt. How often should us girls be taking care of our goods down there?
I mean, my expectation would be daily.
So, there you go. There's your answer.
Well, our friends at Manscaped are giving our listeners the opportunity to take care of the goods down there, fellows. Use today's discount code TIDAL, T-I-D-A-L, to get 20% off all Manscaped goods. Thank you.
More importantly, women will thank you.
Welcome to the show, New Orleans Pelicans guard Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Nikhil, thanks for jumping on with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us, you just said you got out of a workout. Where are you calling in from today?
I'm in L.A. right now. Getting a lot of work in with Alden Simplis, pre-draft guy that I met about over a year and a half ago. And just fell in love with the type of guy he is in terms of his approach to basketball is the same as mine. He's hungry, and I think that's important from a trainer standpoint, where his intensity and his approach to the game matches mine. There's a lot of passion, there's a lot of wisdom, and I think throughout the years he's been able to help me.
That's big time. And you know, we were chatting about the fact that this is your first year in the league. This is your first offseason, but it's not a traditional offseason. Typically, you're putting that work in. You're getting ready to go to Vegas for summer league. We're in completely different times. So you're going through, essentially, you're going through history. It's not a traditional offseason. Has the process been easy, or has it kind of just been go with the punches and see where you end up?
It's actually kind of funny you say that, because it started off with me kind of feeling like I was going into my second year, having 3 months off, and then going back into playing. So I felt like I learned so much from the first half of the season that it felt like a completion of a whole season. So then when I went into the bubble games, everything slowed down for me. The whole game just felt a lot slower and easier. And then when that happens, obviously it becomes more fun. But someone also sent me like a weird statistic saying like I'm one of the first rookies to play in like two opening nights of my career. And I was just like, you're in one season to play in two opening nights. That is pretty crazy.
That's so wild. I mean, just history. And, you know, that first career start in the bubble, 29 points. I mean, the game, you were in complete control, man.
Yeah. Knowing I had minutes coming, but also my teammates, Frank Jackson, Jackson Hayes, Drew Holiday, J.J. Redick, Brandon Ingram, those are like one of the like main guys who have always helped me throughout this entire season, especially Cambridge Williams. Though I feel like every team needs teammates like them. For what they did to me as a rookie to keep me in the right mindset so I can stay on that path. And it's not easy being a pro because of the consistency and the discipline that comes with it, but those guys exemplify it, and so it's easy for me to follow their lead.
You do. You have a remarkable team, and a very unique group of teammates. What was it like before when you were on that three-month pause or the hiatus for the season? Where were you located? Did you come back home to Canada, or where were you, and how did you stay connected, especially as a rookie? What did that feel like, being disconnected from your team?
So I honestly didn't know when we would go back. So I stayed in America. I went to LA to work out with Olin, and I was in a weirder situation. I had a cast on my wrist right at the beginning of the hiatus and was doing left-handed workouts.
What chewed your hand?
I had a hairline fracture of the scaphoid in my wrist. Fortunately, from the time it happened to doing the, we thought it was a sprain. And so we played a game in Maine, I believe, against the Red Claws. This is during my trip with the G League team. And we thought it was a sprain. They didn't want me to play, but I wanted to play left-handed. And I thought that'd be a cool experience to just challenge myself even more.
See, Canadian superstar. This is your rising star. Wanted to play left-handed because you thought it'd be fun.
But I mean, I think it's on the record that you're ambidextrous, right? Like you can go left or right.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't take away from the vibe, Kurt. Nobody needs to know he's ambidextrous.
But, you know, going back to what you just said about your teammates, you know, you've played on, early days in Vaughan Secondary, then going away to prep school, and then your time at, you know, in Virginia Tech. When you think about the team you're on now, it is such a fun team. You look at guys like Drew and JJ, vets, proven, great, great guys. You talked about the other guys. And then, you know, that young crew between you, Jax, and Zion, like, you guys have, it just looks like you have a lot of fun, man. And, you know, I've seen it kind of following all throughout the year and how you guys check in with the kicks. You know, tell me a little bit more about that.
Honestly, it started the rookie transition program. Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, just started randomly doing it. And UVA and VT being rivals, we kind of just mock each other. I spent pre-draft with DeAndre. We signed with the same agent. So we always had that friendly rivalry with each other. And I remember joking with them, like, just like, can I check into, like, am I cool enough? And then it just starts to turn into something. And eventually, like, just spiraled into me, Jackson, and Zion turning into our own thing. And me having, like, a huge passion and love for shoes. But them as well, they don't take it to the same heights that I do. But the fact that they connect with me on one thing and we were able to just be ourselves, to take a step back from basketball or rookie duties and just enjoy a love for shoes together and, like, showing the world, like, who we are as people outside of the court.
Wow. And, you know, just coming out of this workout today, what do you have on your feet?
Well, what I'm going to have on my feet is different than what I do have on my feet. I worked out in the Kobe 5 big stage, but I did. I do have on some slippers right now, just trying to stay comfortable.
That LA weather, man.
No pictures of you on League Fits in the slippers, hey?
Nah, I'm gonna make sure.
This is an ongoing conversation that we have on the show, which is why League Fits feature some players over others, and you are definitely one of their favorites, and I'm not questioning why they pick you. I get it. I see your swag. I know. I agree wholeheartedly, but is there a secret? Because we have had some other guys that I think are pretty put together, and they're, you know, I'm gonna call out my buddy Josh Okoji. He's got swag and they give him zero love. And this has been my ongoing campaign to try and figure out what League Fits wants and why they can't give Josh Okoji some love. So I'm curious, as one of their favorites, one of the top tens on League Fits of all times, what is the secret to getting them to show you some love?
I will say confidence is a main thing. it's marketing. It's also in a sense, it's a fan page, and it's what the fans want to see, players style wise, fashion wise. And I think with that, it's, do you post enough? Like, a lot of times people don't realize League Fits repost what we post.
I actually didn't realize that. I didn't think about that. It feels like every time they're posting something, it is 100% their content.
Right. And in the tunnel, they get it from the teams that may post it. Sometimes they might get them sent to them, but it's a hunt as well. And there's so many, like, well-dressed guys. And, like, it's going to be said with swag that it is off on the court, as there's people who are underrated but don't get to see that light. And I think it goes to just show what the world flashes that microscope on. And when you have guys who stand out so much, as like Shay, he takes eyes that just follow him and they drag, and he's frequent with it. He's confident in it, and he exudes an aura that people aspire to be like, because he's an NBA player. He's he's accomplished goals that other people have goals to accomplish or wish they could accomplish. And then on top of that, he's stylish with it. So I think it's just about exuding a confidence and aura of yourself, but doing it to not so much be in the shadows. And I think when you find that balance of doing it for yourself, but not really being in the shadows, that's when it starts to come to light.
Well, I'm going to, there's so much to say to all of that. Number one, I'm going to go back to Canadian superstar Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Look at you. Like, honestly, that answer, you're something else. You are a star. I will tell my boy, Call Me Nonstop, that he needs to step it up a bit on his end. So we'll have that. But you mentioned Shay, and I have to tell you. So I mentioned to Kurt a little bit earlier. I am 10 days younger than my first cousin. And my whole life, we were put together. So put together like sisters, put together in competition, put together in me being, you know, less than. She's the one, the first one. She's the one that keeps up. And it was a very interesting and complicated relationship that now as an adult we're great. But it was, there were some times where it wasn't so great. And to hear you talk about your cousin just minutes ago, and with that, I can feel, you made me feel the love. You made me feel warm inside just talking about the way that he carries himself. I mean, I just think that's so beautiful. And I'm curious, though, because of how close you guys are, what was it like growing up with him as being the older cousin and taking this path to the NBA and being competitive basketball players? And what was the nature of your relationship from the time you were little kids to now? And has it always stayed the same?
I think it has. For me, him being a month and a half older, he feels like the twin that was born two minutes before.
Right.
Yeah. So like it's, His relationship with me and like mine with him is we know where we stand. We both want to see each other be successful and do great things. The moment he got drafted, I had felt like it was me. Like I accomplished it myself. Like I didn't need to do it. But it's just a simple fact that we know it's what comes with the game. We both want to be great. And we talk about it all the time. Like, we know it's love. Like, in terms of competing, because we've been taught to compete.
Mm-hmm.
We've been taught to want to go at each other on the court. But at the same time, it's also been taught that if he needs something, I gotta lay myself out for him. If I need something, he's going to do the same. And I think it helps because now, off the court, we're not competing. We're being brothers. We're enjoying each other's time. We're enjoying each other's companies. And us sharing the same interests, it makes it easier. So many times I hear that, like, we're the same person when we're around. And I think it's just because we know who we are. And we embrace each other for being each other. And we just want to enjoy the moment. Like, I've always enjoyed my moments when I'm with him.
That's love. That's love.
You are something special. Oh my God.
So quickly, are we going to see you rocking some Converse one of these days?
I make fun of him all the time.
I mean, hey.
I make fun of him all the time. He knows. If anyone gets a pack of Converse before I do, he's going to be here for me for a long time. You can't live that one down.
All right.
They look amazing, though.
They do. And, I mean, not a better time to be rocking your new sneaker deal than, you know, the NBA playoffs. So we saw a lot of Converse, more than we've done in years, which was great. You know, we talked a little bit here about you and your cousin, but the reason that we're connected and on the show today is because of your mom, Nikki. She was on our sister show, Courtside Moms, and we heard her talk a lot about, you know, you and that journey that you guys have been on. So just before the show, we were looking at draft night, and what an amazing draft for Canadians. We had four Canadians drafted in the first round, you being one of them. And just seeing the video of you and your mom standing up and her hugging you, what can you tell us about that relationship with your mom and draft night?
it's not said enough. And growing up, being 22 now, I understand how much she has to deal with and how unfair being a mom can be at times. And her relationship with me, it's like I'm forever indebted to her. She's put so much into me that I couldn't even fathom or take in, like, just all that she's done to help me get here. And for me to grow up and go through so much as a kid and not understand so much. And when you're young, you want to do this and you want to do the things that you probably shouldn't, or you want to grow up too fast. And I think that she helped me stay in my lane and allowed me and guided me the right way to get here. And she is my critic. She is one of my best friends. She's like everything and then some. And I think that has allowed our relationship to be stronger, because if we don't like something, we talk to each other. If we like something, we talk to each other. The best relationships have the best communication. I think that's what it was. I felt like I could always communicate to my mom, and she was my outlet. And seeing how hard she worked, working two jobs, being a single parent, but still making sure that I was seen as a kid who had it all. I mean, like, there's not enough words I can put into it to say what she means to me and what that night meant for me to her. It can go on forever, to be honest.
You can't see us. We're not doing this with video today, but everybody here in the studio is just like, has like perma smiles, like cheeks cracking. That's how big we're smiling. But you know, you said it, like, clearly your mom did something right when she was raising you. And one of the things that you touched on is communication, and communication is the key for any relationship. Having a safe space where you can, you care enough about the other person where you can talk about things without feeling afraid that there's going to be something that hurts the relationship, which probably actually is why you and Shay have such a great relationship, because it's not just about a mother-son relationship, or it applies to everything, all the people that are in your life, and feeling safe enough to be able to communicate and to know that you have people who support you gives you so much confidence. It goes back to the League Fits question of that confidence that you exude and that look in your eye that draws people to you. And all of that comes from how, in my opinion, all of that comes from how you're raised and the environment that you're raised in, and the people who lift you up, even if they have to be working two jobs and they don't know where the next paycheck is coming from, or you know, the whatever challenges and hardships that we don't want to get to. Go listen to your mom's episode. But the heart, like, it's the people who still lift you up and who find the energy and the faith to lift you up. And that's what puts you on these paths. And that's what makes you a Canadian superstar, Nikhil Alexander Walker. So I want to go back to, you know, we've talked a lot, obviously, this is the social injustice that is existing, that has existed for decades, for centuries, if you want to go back far enough, but has been in the forefront of this NBA restart, which is the Black Lives Matter movement. And talking, you know, you're Canadian. So as a Black man, a young Black man leaving Canada, and your experiences, you know, you're in your home, you have your family around you, what was the difference, or was there a difference of any kind as a young Black man, a 16-year-old boy in St. Louis, Missouri, as opposed to Vaughan?
I would say just not understanding what racism felt like, being profiled. Canada is just way more diverse. Our diversity is, I think, second to none. You're from Toronto, and almost all your friends are of a different ethnicity, or they're mixed with something.
Yeah.
and coming here, it's like, no, that's not how it is. And understanding that, and you kind of feel stuck in the middle because you're new here, but you don't understand the problems. So how do you speak on them?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was trying to understand what was going on and how do I support that? How do I choose which person I want to be? And I think that's what, allowed me to understand the real injustice and stand for something.
And 6 years later, this has just gotten worse. This has been heightened. I mean, I shouldn't say that it's gotten worse. It's stayed the same. It's just that there is a spotlight net that's now on it. So what role do you play, or what role do you feel that you need to play? You're in LA right now. You've been in the States through all of this. This goes beyond basketball. You went into the bubble. But we were just saying, we almost stopped the bubble. We almost stopped halfway through. And what role do you see yourself playing, and what role have you played, if any?
I think being a basketball player, I influenced those through sport, through basketball. Michael Jordan influenced so much people because he played basketball. And how he played basketball, mm-hmm. and what he meant to the game. And I think if we can find some ways, some ground to use our sport and who we are to bring light to the fact that there's equality in it, I think, and there needs to be equality in it, and it's not going to change overnight, but I think it has to be a matter of, are we, as basketball players, willing to be uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
You hear so much about what goes into marches, what goes into sit-ins, and you're not realizing those guys are sacrificing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be swayed by the money. We can't be swayed by threats of, well, we'll do this to your family, because then we end up nowhere. We have to be willing to live as sacrifices in order to get something in return.
That's powerful. And, you know, the change is happening now. The momentum is there, and it's just going to continue to push until there is justice. But, you know, fast forwarding now to where you are in LA, working out, getting ready for year two. What is year one of being a pro in the NBA taught you? What's the most valuable lesson you've learned?
Control what you can control. Man, control what you can control. This is like, there's no preparing a rookie for an NBA season. The best thing you can tell him to do is do the best with what you can do your best with and what you have. JJ taught me that, and watching him allowed me to do. And I think there was games where I was able to come in and have a spark because of my approach. Every day, get up and do the same thing. Every day, do your routine. The discipline in that allows you to have some consistency in your life.
You don't learn it overnight, man. It takes time. A lot of people, you know, the dream's to make it, but once you make it, you got to stay. And that's the hardest part.
Exactly. And it's not, I think it was JJ as well that told me, and I wrote it down in my notes. He said, you are never arriving, you are always becoming.
Wow, I like that. You know, I've heard JJ talk a lot quickly about, a lot of times he reaches out to guys, or guys reach out to him and say, oh, I want to work out with you. Have you ever worked out with him?
Yes. I was JJ's butt buddy. Like, I was that lost puppy. Like, if he went somewhere, I was joined to the hip. I didn't let him shoot by himself. He was probably annoyed, and he gained a lot of patience. But I mean, it was just, if I felt like I was getting in my own head or something, I'd look to see what he was doing and I'd go do it with him and try to put myself in a position of someone who's made a career for 14 years. There's so many crazy guys who can't get to five.
I'm telling you, crazy.
Get to a second contract. And so he had so much knowledge in him that I thought that, like, if I don't do nothing this whole season, I'm going to learn. If I don't play a minute, I'm going to learn. If I play 40 minutes a game and average 5 or average 25, I'm going to learn from that guy.
Wow.
And that the marathon of the game and not the sprint of the game.
He's in phenomenal shape. And we're talking about it earlier. We're kind of laughing about it. When you look at a 6'3" white guy, you don't see him having a 14-year career because the knock is he can't play defense, this, and that. But JJ has carved out a phenomenal career. And for you to have the ability to have a guy like that on your team, it's valuable. You got to take what you can from him because it's just knowledge that you can just, you know, sponge.
Absolutely. Kurt's not saying is he's one of those guys that DMs him asking to work out with him.
I don't think I could keep up, man.
Unread, unseen.
I don't think I could keep up.
So we're talking about, you know, this is the end of your first year, your rookie year, or rookie year 1.5. We spend a lot of time talking on the show. You know, actually on all of our shows, about being responsible with your money and about, you know, the challenges that come along with that. But I want to ask you a fun question. So year one, you're getting paid. Was there a, like, splurge gift that you gave to yourself? Was there something fun that...
Oh, yeah.
Cost. You don't need to tell me how much it cost, but that, but what it is that was really like, this is for Nikhil, this is for me. I have, you know, made this first step. We got lots more work to do, but I'm going to give myself a gift because I would like to do that. Did that happen and what was it?
I would say it happened more than once. It happened with a few things, actually. It was...
I want to hear the fun stuff, man. Don't give me anything responsible. I want to hear the fun stuff.
No. This is none of what I'm about to say is in any way, shape, or form close to the responsible.
Okay, good.
But definitely my car. Also, shoes, a lot of shoes, and a lot, and a lot, and a lot, and a lot of shoes. I would say maybe 50 pairs.
Wow, that's good. That's a pair. That's basically a pair a week. That's amazing. I'm not even quite sure I know any women who have bought a pair of shoes a week in a year. That's very... That's impressive.
Lastly, I would say... My chain that means a lot to me from five of my like really really closest friends since high school. They've seen me when I was the 5'7" Nikhil with the high pitched voice, looked 12 years old, absolutely no tattoos, like an innocent little boy, and then turn into the guy I am now.
Like, just so wiser, not less innocent, just wiser.
Right.
Okay, so what kind of car is it?
It is a G-Wagon.
G-Wagon. that's good taste right there.
That's good whiff. Good job.
So what can we expect for year two, man?
Year two, focusing on just... leadership, more of a talkative role. Coming in as a rookie, you don't want to step on any toes. But at the same time, at my position, I think I need to be more decisive and more of a floor general with the team. But I just see like a more all-around player. I think with time comes experience, and I feel like I'm learning every day, and my body's where my mental is, and I think that's going to be a tremendous help.
Awesome.
Down the stretch.
Well, we're excited. We can't wait to see what's next. We've been following. Couple quick questions, rapid fire. Favorite player growing up, who'd you idolize?
Kobe Bryant.
Wow. And rest in peace, Kobe, Mamba. What a year, man. The NBA shook. The whole world was shook. Did you ever have a chance before you made it to the league to meet him or have any sort of interaction with him?
Fortunately, I haven't. The year before I went to the Nike Sports Academy, he was there speaking, but I wasn't invited that year. But, I mean, I always felt like I've always admired him from afar and been raised to, and based off just like religion, just see no man greater than me, but just out of respect for him and who he was, it's just definitely appreciated what he brought to the game because it made me feel sane. It made me feel like you can bring the passion, the intensity, the grit, I don't care what fans say. He was a true definition of a hero and a villain. Mm-hmm. And was regardless to him, he was just Kobe Bryant. Wow. And I think that speaks more than anything he can do with the ball because, I mean, it all starts with confidence and knowing who you are as a man.
I love Kobe. Kobe is the guy I looked up to as well. And, you know, just heartbreaking. When you got to the league, we're talking everything from the beginning, draft, through to where you are today. Who was that guy that when you stepped on the court and you looked across and said, holy, I can't believe it, I'm on the same court as this dude. Was there a moment like that for you?
I don't maybe Paul George, but not really. He was like outside of Kobe, like towards the end, like one of the players I really liked in high school. But I wouldn't say I was wild. It was just more so like, okay, like now I gotta prove I belong.
That's right.
I gotta prove that I'm not here by fluke. Like I want them to respect me.
Yeah. And are you a Raptors fan?
Oh.
I was.
Smart answer.
I was.
You know, because, you know, any Canadian, we've been through all the rough years. Now we got a chip. So, you know, no matter what, there's always going to be a little bit of love there.
Yeah. I mean, I was happy they won for the city. But, I mean, that's as much as I can give them.
Now it's time for you to get your chip.
Exactly.
And what do your teammates call you? Do you have a nickname on the squad?
Mainly just Q. Zoe does Fashion Killer.
Fashion Killer, yes.
I get a lot of killers, but
Mr. Alexander Walker, what other killers are you besides a fashion killer? What other killers you got getting thrown at you?
I guess
you?
Just based off preseason and summer league and how I carried myself with like a killer mentality, I'd say.
Oh, well, that's a good answer, especially when your mom is listening. That's great. Smart. All right, I have three questions that I usually end every interview with. It's just a bit of fun. Don't think too much about it, and it's the first thing that comes to mind. So, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. If you were to write your autobiography today, what would you call it?
A Man of Many Things.
A Man of Many Things. Nice. This is always the answers for that question are always my favorite. And who would you get to play you in the movie?
I gotta say, like young Will Smith in terms of body structure.
Perfect.
And he's just funny. Like I'll take Will Smith.
Okay, perfect. And what TV show from the past or the present is most like your life?
Man. I say Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana? Yes.
You know, just you live a life of fame, but
yeah,
like
you live a double life.
Normal.
Yeah, that's okay, man. That's the best answer to that question, hands down. We have gotten so far. That's awesome,
Nikhil. I gotta say, it's been a blessing having you on today. You just incredible. The future's bright. Can't thank you enough for taking the time, and obviously thanking your mom, Nikki, because. One of the most fun interviews we've had.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Looking forward to seeing what comes next, sir.
You and me both.
Keep in touch.